If you're turning your Bibles to Psalms chapter 9, I want to talk to you this morning about hell, my subject, the long black train. We've been doing a series leading up to Passion Week and to Easter on the cry of the cross. And I preached the message last Sunday night on the second cry of the cross. Today shall thou be with me in paradise, where Jesus promised heaven to the repentant crook on the cross. There was another crook on that cross that day who rejected Jesus, and he went down into hell, lost forever. Which brings me to my text, Psalms 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations or people that forget God. My subject, the long black train. Father, thank you so much for the anointed singing, and Lord, how your presence has already graced this place, and Lord, how we've enjoyed being in the house of God and seated with you in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, you've burned this message into my heart, Lord, and I pray that you will burn it into the hearts of the hearers. Lord, those that are watching by live stream, those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord, save the lost. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Hell is not a popular subject. And I had much rather preach on heaven than to preach on hell. Matter of fact, the last time, according to my records, that you sang that song, I preached the sermon, The Long Black Train. It was in 2005. And that was at the old campus, and I was shocked. I thought it was a lot more recent than that. Time does fly, amen? But we must preach on hell. And if I were never to mention the subject of hell, I would only be preaching half of the gospel. We don't like to talk about hell, and we don't like to talk about suffering, and we don't like to talk about death. But these things, they are all real, just the same. We live in such a busy world. We live in a world of telecommunication with space-age technology. We have computers, we have cell phones, we have Facebook and Twitter. Now we've learned that we have a spy in the sky. The United States government is watching everything that we do. We live in a world of mass transportation, and everybody seems to be in a hurry. And everybody seems to be rushing to get somewhere. And many people are rushing headlong with no thought of eternity in a straight path, and they are headed to hell. And that's why God has brought you here today, to examine your own heart. When we talk about hell, the Bible is our source of authority. We are absolutely dependent upon the Bible, the Word of God, for the knowledge that we gain about the future life. I want you to listen to a few scriptures that speak about this awful place called hell. One of them I mentioned in my text, Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all people that forget God. Psalms 86:13. I love this. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible warns us that if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Bible talks about heaven, and the Bible warns us about that awful, awful, dismal, dark place called hell. And it's the duty of every preacher to preach the whole gospel and to rightly divide the word of truth. Some people say, well, God is love and God is too good to send a man to hell. God is a good God, but he's also a God of justice. And justice demands that sin must be punished. And hell is the place of everlasting punishment. God is a good God, and it's the goodness of God that leads and calls us to repentance. God loves us. He loves every sinner. And he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And the Bible tells us that God commended or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible tells us it is appointed unto men but once to die. But that's not the end. Then the Bible says, and after that, the judgment. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Will it be in the splendors of heaven or the horrors of hell? Your soul is eternal. And you will live on and on and on through the ceaseless, endless ages of time. When I was a little boy and they would preach on hell, my knees would hurt. I would think about something that never, they weren't growing pains either. I was thinking about something that never, 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 never ends. And my legs would actually ache and hurt. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And the Bible is our sole source of authority when it comes to the future life. Man has an appointment with death. Then the Bible says, and after that, the judgment. You've heard me repeat that poem. I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade. When spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings back blue days and fair. And it ends by saying, and I to my pledge word am true. I shall not fail that rendezvous. It's appointed unto men but once to die. We all have a rendezvous with death. And after that, the judgment. Man has an appointment. There are two eternal dwelling places for the soul of man. One is heaven, the other is hell. And how does someone end up in hell? Preacher, how do they get there? Lost forever. Well, our brother sang a song, The Long Black Train. But I want you to listen to the words of this poem, which I ran across several years ago. I used to read this to my children when they were growing up because it's so descriptive about those that go down into hell. And Jennifer's sitting in church today, and she said, y'all scared me when you would read that poem. I hope I scared the hell out of her, to be real honest with you. She's in church today, and she's worshiping God. And I don't say that as slang. I say that, and I literally mean that. I hope when I preach the word of God, it's preached with such power and such anointing that it scares the hell out of people, and they come and they give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Amen. Go and praise God, because there's a heaven that we can gain. None of us have to die and go to hell. But she told me how much I scared her, but they would all come to me sometime. They would say, Daddy, Daddy, read us that poem about the hellbound train. So I want to read it to you today because it's so descriptive. The hellbound train. The train was crammed from front to rear. The devil himself was the engineer. The pleas for life I can almost hear. This is the hellbound train, shouted the engineer. There were young and old among the crowd, the high, the low, the meek, the proud. There were beautiful women and handsome men who had gambled their souls for the price of sin. There were rich, most wealthy among the crew, deacons, church members, and ministers too. There were men of all races, men of great name, men of sound knowledge, wisdom, and fame. They were all in the aisles and packed in the seats and tied with chains, both hands and feet. The doors and all the windows were chained. There seemed to be no escape from that hell-bound train. A prisoner cried, what have we done to be treated this way? Well, you did what I told you to do, and you said what I told you to say, and that's why your souls are lost today. Another cried, but Satan, you said we would never be lost if we lived our lives for you. Of course I did, he sneered. What else was I to do? A teenager cried, you said I was too young to give my heart to Christ, that I could do without him, that I did not need him in my life. I lied. And you were all fools to have listened to my words and obey. Indeed, I have been most clever to have blinded you this way. Why, friends, you've just been faithful. You've endured to the end. You've labored hard in your ways of sin. Why, you just worship me. Is that not true? So as faithful servants, I must pay you what's due. Someone cried, "You told us this would never be." Satan replied, "You were fools to have put your trust in me. For Christ desired to save your soul. Merciless am I, as you were told. You had your chance, but you chose to live for me. Now tell me, why should I set you free?" Millions cried louder, the young and the old, "Please, Satan, have mercy on our souls." Then he grinned and let out a cry, "Because you sin, your soul shall die." Now the train moved on at an awful pace as hot winds scorched their hands and face. When out of the distance arose a yell, "Oh, look," cried the devil, "we're approaching hell." Oh, how the prisoners screamed and cried in pain. They begged the devil to stop that train. Some peered through the windows at the horrible sight, but in the distance, thick smoke filled the night. "We're almost there," the devil said, and in the distance, they saw the flames ahead. They twisted and pulled, but they struggled in vain, for their hands were tied and their feet were chained. People fainted and fell to the floor, for the horror of hell was too much to endure. And the high, the low, the rich, and the poor had gone to hell to return no more. Where are you headed this morning? Are you headed to heaven, or are you headed to hell? The Bible tells us there is a literal hell, and that hell is the everlasting home of the lost. Jesus tells us about such a man, a beggar, and a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. The Bible says that the rich man dined sumptuously every day. He wore fine clothes. He enjoyed life, and he died, and he went down to hell. And he looked up into heaven, and he saw Lazarus enjoying himself in paradise. And the Bible says that this rich man in hell, he cried out and asked for mercy. Look at Luke 16:24. Jesus is telling this. "Father Abraham," the man cried, "have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Oh, I wish you could see that one drop of water dropping from my finger. Just send him into this awful place that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This man was in hell and he was suffering untold agony. Was it because he was rich and wore fine clothes and was wealthy and enjoyed life? No. He tells us himself that he was there because he had rejected God and he did not repent of his sins. He went his own way and he left God out. Lazarus was a beggar, and the Bible says that the dogs licked his sores. But he trusted in God, and he died, and he went to heaven. You can go to heaven without wealth. You can go to heaven without health. You can go to heaven without friends. But you cannot go to heaven without Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We live in a world of pluralism, our country, where they say there are many ways to God. But I'm here to tell you, Confucius is not the way. Mohammed is not the way. Allah is not the way. Buddha is not the way. The New Age movement is not the way. There is only one way you can come. And Jesus said, if any man try to come another way, the same as a thief and a robber. Go on, praise God, because you know the way. You're not sitting in the ignorant. I've already preached long enough. If you've never heard a gospel message, that you know there's a way out of that awful, tormenting place called hell. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says there is salvation in none other name given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. It is the matchless, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Go on and praise Him. Thank God that we've been redeemed by the blood. We don't have to go to that awful, tormenting place called hell. Thank God our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can know that you know, and you can be sure, that you're saved. And if you don't know that you know, and if you're not sure that you're sure, these altars are wide open, and you can come and find grace and mercy and be born again of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. God loves you. God cares about you. God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? I'll tell you who's against you. The devil, the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So turn from darkness and turn to the light. His name is Jesus Christ, and He wants to save you. If you're watching by live stream, give your heart to Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to save you. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Hallelujah. He said, I come to seek and save that which was lost. I'm so glad He saved me. Aren't you glad He saved you? Hallelujah. Go on, praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The only reason I do good works is because He saved me and He's working on me. I never wanted to preach. I would never have chosen to preach, but He put His nail-scarred hand on me and said, I choose you. I don't have to preach, praise God. I get to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a debtor, praise God. I'm in debt to everybody because God saved me, delivered me, healed me, set my feet a-dancing. Hallelujah, I can still dance, devil. You think I can't dance? Let me show you. I'll just dance my way through to victory. Hallelujah. I'll just proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. He's not only my Savior, He's my healer. He's my sanctifier. He's my Holy Ghost baptizer. He's my soon coming King. He's the all in all, and I love Him with all my heart. Do you love Him like that? Then let's stand and give Jesus a standing ovation. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. He broke every chain off of my life. He broke every chain off of your life. He's a chain breaker, and He's worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. For He has created all things, and for Thy pleasure, His pleasure, they are and were created. You were created to praise Him. He saved you to praise Him. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Aren't you glad He called you out of darkness into the marvelous light? Hallelujah. You know, this rich man, he tells us why he was in hell. He went his own way, left God out. He loved the present world. And at the end of his life, there was nothing left but hell. A preacher was preaching one night, and a young man stood up in the meeting and said, why, preacher, you've been preaching on hell. Tell me, preacher, where is hell? The preacher answered and said, I'll tell you, young man, where hell is. You'll find hell at the end of a life when you leave Jesus Christ out of it. You see, my friends, you can go all through this life without Jesus. But if you do, there will be absolutely no hope for you at the end of the way. And if you miss heaven, you miss everything. And if you miss heaven, you will bust, not burst, you will bust hell wide open. So what kind of place, preacher, is hell? The Bible describes hell as a place of eternal suffering. Jesus describes it as a furnace of fire, the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus talks about a man being tormented in the flames. Hell is a real place, and hell is a place of suffering. Suffering is a terrible thing. Nobody wants to suffer. But at least when men and women are on this earth, they do have some hope. When you're sick, you hope that the suffering will end. You hope that you will get well. When you're in debt, you hope to get out of debt. When things go bad in your life, you hope that they will get better. Suffering is a terrible thing. So in this world, we just hope for a better day. But there is no such hope for those who go down into hell. Hell is not for a day. Hell is not for a week. Hell is not for a month. Hell is not for a year. Hell is for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. Forever lost is written upon every chain of hell, and it blazes in the fire of that horrible abyss. Death is a monster here on earth, but men would welcome death in hell. If death could go down into hell and relieve the suffering, the damned of hell would rejoice. But death never comes to that place to put an end to their torment. And hell is the everlasting home of the lost. Dante, the Italian poet, in his classic work, The Divine Comedy, he describes hell as an eternal inferno with this inscription above the gates of hell: "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. There is no hope for anyone who dies and goes down to hell." Hell is forever and ever and ever. And Jesus said it is a place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of darkness, a place of eternal suffering. How terrible it would be to spend eternity in hell. But the good news is, you don't have to go there. Look at John 3:16. I love this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. And it's the Spirit that bids us come. The Spirit called in childhood and pleaded, "Let me in." But oh, the door was bolted by faultless and sin. "I'm too young," the child replied. "I'll not yield today." So repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Again, he came in youth's bright happy hour. He came but found no welcome. He came again to the man in the middle age. He came but found no welcome. The merchant had no time. No time for true repentance. No time to stop and pray. And so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more he came and waited. The man was old and ill and scarcely heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. "Go leave me," he cried. "When I need thee, I'll call for thee," he said. Then sinking on his pillow, without a hope, he died. But the good news is, the Spirit is calling. And it doesn't matter what age or stage of life you're in. When you hear the wooing of the Holy Ghost, that's the time to come and give your heart to Jesus. Because God loves you. See, the Bible is the good news that talks about salvation for all of humanity. Yet it seems that some people are determined to go to hell. God puts many things in the pathway of the sinner to keep them from being lost. He has erected mountains over which the sinner must climb before he can get to hell. That's the mountain of the church, where you can go and hear the gospel preached. That's the mountain of gospel sermons on television, on internet, and on other social media. That's the mountain of the Bible, and you cannot go to hell without climbing over the truth of God's word. Then that's the mountain of the conscience, and a man must climb over the impressions of his conscience before he can ever get to hell. That's the mountain of love and the prayers of others who have prayed to keep you out of hell. That's the mountain of the wooings and the pleadings of the Holy Spirit that stands between every man and hell. And finally, that's the mountain called Calvary. This is the last mountain over which you must ever climb to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, and he has erected mountains to keep you out of hell. At Calvary, we see three crosses. On the center cross, a man is dying for the sins of all mankind. On one cross, a man is dying to sin. He accepted Christ as his Savior, said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." And this man dies and goes to heaven. On the other cross, a man is dying in his sins because he has rejected Jesus Christ. And his soul goes down into hell, lost forever. Jesus paid your debt at Calvary when he took your sins upon himself so that you could go free. God loves you. And the good news is you can be saved today. Time is fleeting. Eternity is calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I heard him so many times. I'm so glad I heeded that call. Time is fleeting. Why don't you come and be saved today? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Upon the rugged cross of Calvary was there my Savior died. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. O sinner friend, for you he died." His hands are gently knocking on the door. Outside, he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking, is aching, as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Let us stand. Come as you are. Come today and let him save you. Hallelujah.
There's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room.
Thank you, Lord,
at the cross for you.
The preaching of the cross is the preaching of God's love.
Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross.
Are you away from God? Have you strayed? Have you done something that you know if you should die this moment that your soul would go to hell? God doesn't want you to go to hell. All you have to do is say, "Lord, I've messed up. Lord, you know I've messed up." The Bible said his anger endureth but a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Don't go through life in a season of weeping when you can have your sins washed away and you can know the joy of the Lord. Sing it.
There's room at the cross for you.
Come and talk to him. I landed this plane early.
There's room
11:45.
At the cross.
You got 15 minutes
for you
before lunchtime. 15 minutes. The most important minutes of your life. If you have 15. That you will ever face because God is calling.
Yes.
Say, "Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I failed. Lord, I've backslidden. You know what I did, God. I don't have to tell man about it. I need to tell you about it. I need to be free from this awful weight called sin, oh God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Oh God, wash me in your blood. Wash me, Lord. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to make heaven my eternal home. And by the help and grace of God, that's what I intend to do.
Oh, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room.
Just come and thank Him that you're saved if you're not lost. Just come to the cross and say, I thank you, Lord, I'm saved.
There's room at the cross for you.
Yes, there's room at the cross.